Welcome to this deep dive.
Great to be here.
In this lesson, we're exploring prioritization and productivity methods.
Yeah, a really crucial topic.
If you've watched the overview, this will build on that. If not, you'll still be able to follow along.
Absolutely.
Now, let's go further by exploring practical examples, future workplace relevance, responsible use, and how you can build confidence with this skill.
Let's do it.
So, to kick things off, I want you to think about this. Right now, as you are listening to us, your brain is, it's likely treating a totally random text message notification with the exact same chemical urgency as, like, a massive career-defining project deadline.
Oh, absolutely.
And today, we're going to fix that glitch. Because managing all these competing responsibilities, I mean, it's a huge struggle for students, right?
It is.
But it's also just this essential survival skill you have to master before you enter, you know, the digitally enabled workplace.
Yeah, because that biological glitch you just mentioned, that's really the root of so much modern anxiety.
Right.
Our brains simply did not evolve to process the sheer volume of digital demands we face today. I mean, they just didn't.
We're totally overloaded.
Exactly. So when we talk about the stakes of prioritization here, we aren't just talking about, you know, the risk of turning in an assignment a day late.
Right, it's much bigger than that.
It's way bigger. We are looking at chronic systemic procrastination. We're looking at living in a state of constant low-level panic.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Where, you know, priorities are entirely missed, your productivity just plummets, and severe burnout becomes basically inevitable.
Yeah, we hear that word burnout thrown around a lot, but it really is the end stage of this whole cycle, isn't it?
It really is.
But if we flip that, like, if we actually master this skill, the shift is dramatic. I always think of it like juggling. You know?
Oh, that's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, like managing your responsibilities is basically juggling. And strong prioritization is just knowing which balls are made of glass, which are the important tasks, and which ones are made of rubber, which are the, you know, the low-value distractions.
Right, because if you drop a rubber ball, it just bounces. No harm done.
Exactly. But you drop a glass ball, it shatters.
Yeah.
And when you realize that, you move from this state of constantly reacting to whatever is loudest to a proactive state where you actually dictate where your energy goes.
Yeah, and that improves your focus, your daily decision-making, and just your capacity to handle a heavy workload without crumbling.
So moving into the deeper philosophy of this, why do structured productivity methods matter so much?
Well, it really comes down to this core concept we call time value.
Time value, okay, break that down for us.
So time isn't just some passive backdrop to your day. It's a finite, incredibly valuable asset.
Right.
And it requires very strategic allocation. So prioritization, fundamentally, it just means actively forcing important tasks to the front of the line.
Getting them done first.
Exactly. Giving them your premium attention before all those low-value distractions can, you know, chip away at your day.
Let me push back on that a little bit, though. Or at least, let's talk about why we fail at that. Because if we know logically that studying for a midterm or, say, finishing a huge client presentation has a higher time value than scrolling through social media,
right,
or answering some random low-priority email, why is it so hard to actually do the important thing? Like, what is the mechanism in our brains driving that bad choice?
Honestly, it's largely driven by dopamine.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's how our brains process rewards. See, urgent tasks, even entirely meaningless ones, they offer immediate closure.
Like checking a box.
Exactly. When you reply to an email or you clear a notification badge on your phone, your brain gets this quick hit of dopamine.
It feels productive.
Yes, it tricks you into feeling productive. Important tasks, on the other hand, they usually involve delayed gratification.
Okay, yeah. Like writing a huge paper.
Right. Writing a 20-page research paper doesn't give you a quick reward. It requires sustained cognitive effort over, you know, weeks or even months.
So we are biologically wired to crave that quick hit from the urgent task. And we just avoid the heavy lift of the important task because the reward is too far away.
That's exactly the dynamic. And without a structured productivity method to kind of intercept that biological urge, you will default to clearing out the easy, urgent tasks every single time.
While the truly important stuff just sits there.
Exactly. It just sits there, untouched, slowly turning into an absolute emergency.
Okay, but let me pause you right there, because I can hear the objection from a student or a young professional listening to this right now.
Oh, I bet I know what it is.
Let's say my plate is already overflowing, right?
Yeah.
I have 50 competing demands on my time today.
Right, you're swamped.
Completely swamped.
Right.
telling me I now need to go set up and manage a quote-unquote structured productivity system, that sounds like you were just handing me a 51st job.
Yeah, I hear that all the time.
Right, now I have to do my actual work, plus I have to manage some complex system on top of it. Doesn't that just add more work and more cognitive load?
I completely understand that hesitation. I really do. But the reality, according to the materials we're looking at, is the exact opposite.
Really? How so?
Operating without a system is actually what maximizes your cognitive load. Think about how a computer works. Your brain's working memory is a lot like a computer's RAM, the random access memory.
Okay.
It's meant for active processing, like thinking through a complex problem or drafting an essay. It is a very limited resource.
And when you have 50 things you are just trying to remember to do, it's like having 50 Chrome tabs open.
That is the perfect analogy, yes.
You're using up all your processing power just trying not to forget that you have to do the tasks.
Exactly. You are draining your RAM. So a structured productivity system acts as your hard drive.
Oh, okay.
By taking those tasks out of your head and putting them into a trusted external system, you actually free up your working memory.
So you aren't wasting energy all day.
Right. You're no longer wasting energy trying to remember that you have a meeting at 2 p.m. and a paper due on Thursday. The system remembers it for you.
Wow. Yeah.
So that upfront investment of organizing your tasks, it buys back hours of wasted, anxious processing power later on.
Okay, so the goal is to get the mess out of our working memory. Let's get into the practical digital insights here. How do we actually categorize this work once we've, you know, dumped it out of our heads?
The primary mechanism here is division.
Division, okay.
Specifically, separating tasks based on urgency and importance. This means taking that giant, intimidating to-do list and actively forcing every single item into one of four buckets.
All right, let's hear the buckets.
Bucket one. Urgent tasks. These are time-sensitive things with immediate deadlines. Bucket two, important tasks. These carry high value, but they aren't necessarily due tomorrow.
Right.
Bucket three, low-priority tasks. These are the distractions, the busy work. And finally, bucket four, long-term goals, your big-picture aspirations.
Okay, I think most people probably understand buckets one and four pretty easily.
Yeah.
But the friction always seems to happen between the urgent and the important.
Always. That's the danger zone.
Right. And that connects to a strategy mentioned in the lesson regarding high focus work periods and, you know, limiting those low priority distractions.
Yeah, because to do the important work, you have to protect your cognitive bandwidth. And that requires literally shutting off the flow of urgent, low priority demands.
It's kind of like putting a digital device in airplane mode.
Yes. Perfect way to look at it.
When you do that, you are actively severing the connection to incoming pings, app updates, random text messages. You cut the signal so that 100% of the device's battery power can go entirely toward the one crucial app you need to run.
Right.
We basically have to learn how to put our own brains in airplane mode.
We do. We really do. Because every time you allow an interruption, like every time you switch your attention from drafting a strategic proposal to checking a quick Slack message, you incur a cognitive switching penalty.
A switching penalty.
Yeah. It takes your brain significant time to refocus on the important task after you look away.
It's not instantaneous.
Not at all. If you don't aggressively limit those low-value distractions, your battery just drains before you ever make meaningful progress on your high-value goals.
Let's bridge this into a future workplace scenario, because I want to see how this plays out in real life for our listeners.
Sure.
The lesson provides this really interesting case study of a student who turned their productivity around. And the key was they didn't do it by simply staying in the library longer.
Right. No, not at all. They worked smarter.
Right. They evaluated deadlines, prioritized importance, managed their workload dynamically.
Yeah, they stopped treating every assignment as equally critical. They evaluated the time value of each task and allocated their hours based on that.
Okay, so let's take that student, we hand them a diploma, and we drop them into a modern, digitally connected corporate office.
Okay.
The environment changes entirely. It's no longer just a professor handing out a static syllabus in September. It is a relentless daily barrage of emails, project management software notifications, virtual meeting invites, instant messages.
The modern workplace is just an absolute flood of digital information. It really is.
Right. So a young professional entering that environment, they must use these exact same prioritization skills to survive.
Right. Absolutely. The context changes, obviously, but the mechanism of evaluating urgency versus importance, it is identical.
Wow, okay.
If they lack the ability to filter those competing demands, they're high-value strategic projects, which is, by the way, the actual work that drives a business forward and earns you promotions.
Right, the stuff that matters.
Exactly. That work will be entirely derailed by the constant influx of low-priority digital noise.
I do need to challenge this, though, especially regarding workplace power dynamics.
Okay, let's hear it.
Because in college, I can decide that studying for a test is more important than going to a club meeting, right? I control my time.
Sure.
But in a corporate office, my manager controls my time.
Yeah.
So what happens when my boss messages me at 4:30 p.m. on a Friday with a task that technically belongs in bucket three low priority? But because they are the boss, they're treating it like a bucket one emergency. I mean, I can't just ignore my boss.
No, you can't. And you bring up this concept of managing up, which is an incredibly crucial professional skill. You're right, you cannot ignore your manager. However, having a structured productivity system gives you the actual data you need to negotiate that workload.
Interesting.
Instead of just automatically saying yes and staying at the office until midnight, or saying no and looking, insubordinate.
Which nobody wants to do.
Right. You use your system to communicate.
How does that actually sound in practice, though?
It sounds something like this. You say, I can absolutely take care of that new request for now.
Wow.
Right now, I am prioritizing the quarterly report we agreed was due Monday morning. Would you like me to pause the report to handle this new task, or should I slot this new task in for Tuesday?
Oh, wow. That is a great pivot. You aren't refusing the work at all.
Not at all.
You are just forcing the manager to acknowledge the trade-off.
Exactly. You are making the invisible workload visible to them. You are asking them to participate in the prioritization process with you.
That's brilliant.
And more often than not, when faced with the reality of delaying an important project for a sudden impulse request, the manager will realize the new task isn't actually an emergency at all.
They'll just say Tuesday is fine.
Right. But you can only have that conversation confidently if you already have a firm grasp on your own task categories.
Which brings us to a major risk factor that was discussed in the materials. Because while productivity in the workplace is great, there's a serious danger if we misapply these methods.
Yes, there is.
The lessons knowledge check poses a very specific scenario, and I want to ask it here. What happens when students focus only on urgent tasks?
Yeah, this is the urgency trap we kind of touched on earlier, and it is a very, very easy cycle to fall into, especially for highly ambitious people.
Oh, yeah.
If you wake up every day and only prioritize what is urgent, the immediate deadlines, the fires that need putting out, you enter a state of perpetual crisis management.
You spend your entire day firefighting.
Exactly. And by the end of the day, you are just utterly exhausted. You feel like you've been working at maximum capacity for 10 straight hours. But when you look back, you haven't actually moved the needle on anything meaningful.
You haven't made any real progress.
Right. You haven't developed a new skill. You haven't advanced a long-term project. You probably haven't even taken time to rest. You merely survived the day's emergencies.
And doing that for weeks or months, I mean, that leads directly to the severe burnout we discussed at the top of the deep dive.
It's a direct pipeline to burnout.
Because all those important but non-urgent things, things like networking, long-term strategic planning, or just, getting 8 hours of sleep, they keep getting pushed to the back burner until they eventually ignite and become urgent crises themselves.
Yes. And that's why ethical and responsible workload management requires recognizing this trap. It is not just about doing more work at a faster pace. It means fiercely protecting your time for those long-term goals and important non-urgent tasks. Maintaining sustainable productivity over a long career requires you to defend your high-focus work periods.
You have to protect your peace.
You do. You have a responsibility to yourself and to your long-term mental health not to let the urgent constantly crowd out the important.
To prevent that burnout, let's transition into some practical growth advice, things our listeners can adopt right now to build these sustainable digital habits.
Great idea.
The lesson highlights three specific digital tools: Todoist, Trello, and Google Calendar. And from what I gather, these aren't just, digital pieces of paper. They fundamentally change how we interact with our tasks.
They really do because they digitize and basically automate the structured systems we've been breaking down today.
Right.
Let's look at Google Calendar, for instance. It allows you to visualize time value directly. You can use it to literally block out those airplane mode, high focus work periods.
Time blocking.
Yeah. And you start treating a block of deep work with the exact same respect you would treat a meeting with your boss.
I love that. And then there is Trello, which uses a visual Kanban board system, right?
Yeah, Trello is incredibly effective because it alters our psychological perception of a workload.
Right.
Instead of a static, boring list, you have columns usually to do, doing, and done.
Oh.
When you physically drag a digital card from doing to done, it provides that dopamine hit we talked about earlier.
Oh, right. So you're hacking the dopamine.
Exactly. But you get it for completing actual prioritized work. It also visually highlights your bottlenecks. Like if your doing column has 15 cards in it, the system makes it glaringly obvious that your cognitive bandwidth is totally overloaded.
Right. You can just see it.
Yeah.
And Todoist operates on a similar principle, but more for quick capture, right?
Yes.
It acts as that external hard drive we mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
When a thought pops into your head, you immediately log it into Todoist, getting it out of your working memory.
Exactly.
And from there, you can assign it priority levels, sorting it into those four buckets we discussed. So the software literally color codes what you need to focus on first.
The technology facilitates the philosophy, but, and this is important, the tools only work if you actively engage with the underlying categories of urgency and importance.
Which brings me to a direct challenge for you, listening right now. My call to action is for you to try the lesson's core activity today. Take your current tasks, all the messy, overlapping responsibilities currently swirling around in your head, and get them onto an external hard drive.
Just get them out of your head?
Exactly. Sort them into the four categories: urgent, important, low priority, and long-term goals. Try setting up a visual board in Trello today, or time blocking your calendar. Just see how it physically feels to offload that cognitive burden into a trusted system.
And for those who want to push this even further, the materials highlight three foundational texts for deeper growth.
Oh, yes. The books.
Yeah. Deep Work, Essentialism, and Atomic Habits. These are phenomenal resources that will fundamentally change how you view your time and your habits.
They really will.
Now, to fulfill the citation requirement for this lesson, I'm going to challenge you to actively look up the authors and publication dates for those three titles yourself. Finding that information is a quick but excellent way to practice your own digital research skills.
So that's Deep Work, Essentialism, and Atomic Habits. Look up the authors, find the publication dates, and honestly read the books. They are game changers.
They absolutely are. They provide the deep architectural blueprints for everything we've discussed today.
As we bring this deep dive to a close, I want to return the focus directly to your own mindset. The lesson poses a brilliant reflection prompt, which is, how can better prioritization improve the way I manage time and responsibilities?
I really encourage you to spend some time with that question. Mastering this skill before you fully enter the professional world provides just an incredible advantage.
It sets you apart.
It does. It builds a profound sense of digital confidence. When you know you have a reliable system to handle whatever comes your way, the sheer volume of digital information stops being terrifying.
It becomes manageable.
Exactly. You establish a foundation where you dictate your priorities rather than allowing a chaotic environment to dictate them for you.
I want to encourage you to stay curious, stay responsible, and stay future ready. Don't forget to review the end of module study guide and complete the workbook activities to really lock this knowledge in. Thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for listening.
And as you look at all the incoming notifications and requests heading your way today, just ask yourself one provocative question before you react. Is this actually important, or is it just screaming the loudest?